The following programming is sponsored by Factorum Business Solutions. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? To save a world in despair? Who really cares? There'll come a time.
There'll come a time
when the world won't be singing.
When the world won't be singing.
Flowers won't grow.
Flowers won't grow. No.
Bells won't be ringing.
No bells won't be ringing.
Who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world?
To save a world.
That's destined to die.
That is destined to die.
When I look at the world.
When I look at the world.
It fills me with sorrow.
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow.
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to live.
Such a bad way to live.
Who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
We can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
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 Live
for life.
Live for life.
But let live, everybody.
Live life for the children.
Live.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Save the babies. Save the babies. And if you wanna love, you got love. Save the babies. Oh, I feel you got feeling. You will save the babies. But who really cares? Who's willing to try? Yeah, to save our world. Yeah, save our sweet world. Save a world that is destined to die.
Welcome to Tone and Tenor, bipartisan voices of the people. I am Pat Edward. Randall's taking leave. Our show looks at major issues impacting the nation and region from a bipartisan perspective. We want to hear from you, our listeners. Call, ask questions if you dare. Our call-in number is 888-329-3306. That is 888-329-3306. Lines are now open. You can catch us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Tone and Tenor, Tone and Tenor Radio. Let's get into it.
Yeah, our topic today is saving the children, saving the earth. As you know, we are in the world where our children are being taken in foster care. Our children are being shot on the streets. And if this keeps happening, we won't have any children.
Sure.
Yeah. We won't know who will be saving the world. You know, as Marvin Gaye says, save the children. You know, we've talked about this before, Pat. It's not nothing new. And, you know, we thought that it would be interesting to do this as there is a rally here in Philadelphia about the problems that DHS, Philadelphia Department of Human Services, has been having. And, you know, I just learned.
Of hostile services? That's what it should stand for, because them folks hostile as hell. Not all of them, but most of them.
Yeah, but some of the some of the problems that DHS or people are facing is really, you know, as I looked at it, it's not just here in Philadelphia.
Oh no, yeah. It's a state thing. So just in case y'all don't know,
not just a state thing.
But well, it's
going all across the country.
Yeah, but I'm just talking just in case y'all didn't know, this 1/3 of Pennsylvania state budget is it's close to 40% is DHS money.
Mm-hmm.
That's absurd to me.
And they're asking, the governor has asked for more money. You know, and this is what gets me, Pat. You know, I listen to these people, you know, and I listen. I went down there, you know, I guess, you know, I was hoping to hear something different.
Why?
You know, and then I see standing on the stage, you know, let's stop perpetrating people. If you're running for office, stop acting like you're a CEO of a radio show and standing up there. The only person running for office standing up there in the 10th district. Let's not play these games. A lot of folks standing, there were a lot of people, though, Pat,
mm-hmm.
that were hurting. And listening to one young lady as I was in the crowd talking about how her child was taken away. Another lady talking about the 2 hours that she visitation rights that she gets.
Mm-hmm.
And the folks are telling her this one thing. She does what she's supposed to do and still has no access to her children.
Well, it's twofold. I mean, we don't know the entire story.
Right. And this is, again, mm-hmm. you know, with all due respect, we don't know the entire story.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a lot of people talking, and the same young lady, and I had to laugh
mm-hmm.
because it was about DHS,
mm-hmm.
and then other folks started promoting their own agendas.
Of course. I mean.
And the one lady said because, and you know, the sheriff promoted her event this weekend,
sure.
of dental and all that, and the same young lady that was having another young lady having problems said, well, instead of one day of dental, how can you help me get health insurance continuously for my children?
Mm-hmm.
You know, she said, how can you help me? You know, a lot of people don't know how to maneuver the system.
Yeah, because, again, the system is not friendly. And and I'm not
talking. It seems like Zoom is not friendly to us today.
Oh, that's fine. But, you know, it's, you know, because we're about to speak some truth. It's about to get real uncomfortable.
Power of the truth, you know.
Oh, and real quick, with the daily quote today, I like this one. This is from Ray Merritt. Old men can only make war, but it is children who will make history.
Mm.
So I thought that quote was appropriate for
that's
today.
That's not only just appropriate for today, that's appropriate for what's going on across around the globe.
It's true. Anywhere where there's just y'all gonna take offenses, but I don't care. Anywhere where there's like old prejudiced men, particularly of a different hue, there's always some type of money grab, right? Or some type of nonsense. Like, this is what it is. There's really no other way to explain that. You know, we're in a really pivotal place where nobody's paying attention to the environment. You know, nobody's paying attention to, you know, the long-term challenges or long-term issues that are facing us. Because everybody's living for today because it's of a scarcity mindset.
You know, and one of the biggest things that it's a lot going on in, you know, DHS throughout the city. And statistically, you know, Philly has problems all across the board.
Sure.
You know, and for our elected officials or selected officials to stand up there, and I'm not saying the ones there today, but to stand and hold these press conferences and stand out here and we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Mm-hmm. Let's stop the cackie-lackie BS. You can only do and get accomplished anything if you learn how to take the issue and work across the aisles. The problem is that everybody wants to talk party and not people.
Or real progression.
Right. And people are the who put you there.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, let's keep it real. You know, all of y'all running around here glad handling, taking these photos, posting them on Facebook. Bull. Stop it. Make your officers do the work. You know, you got people writing, we're investing in a community. You're investing in a community, but you do no follow-up.
Yeah, but it's not even that. At this point, it's not even make them do the work. Vote them out. Like,
why well, that people... was that was one of the best things, uh-huh. And I believe it was Bridget Powell. Mm-hmm. She said she was trying to figure out what shirt to wear today. Mm-hmm. And it was her vote shirt. And she basically said what we've said all along. It's time, like you said, vote them out.
Yeah,
But Pat, you can't vote people out if you don't do your homework or you don't listen to those that are telling the truth.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing.
Who's trying to edumacate you?
Well, listen, in life, we don't get what we want. We get what we deserve. We get what we deserve. It's that simple, right? So until we do better in life, till we vote better, this is what we're going to get. You're going to be in a district where, you know, you have incumbents who barely get between 8 and 12,000 votes, but they've been in office for, you know.
And you got 30,000 people. You know, redistricting. We went through all of this cackalacky BS for redistricting so they could have even numbers, 62,000 here, 62,000 here, 62,000 here, so that you could be even, but you don't vote.
Some people don't even know. I mean... I
don't even know what district I'm in right now.
Listen, I got a phone call. This is when I was working in Delaware County for a rep, whatever. And this lady, first of all, she's calling out of district. She's calling about, it's not a shot. I love Mrs. Blackwell. But basically, she called Janie Blackwell's office. She's like, isn't Janie Blackwell? I was like, ma'am, she hasn't been in office for a couple of years. What are you talking about? She's like, really? Yeah.
But that's all a part
years
of
later,
the,
Randall.
But Pat, that's all part of the systematic plan. You know, we have been pushed down, stepped on, and been accepting. Yeah. A lot of us have been accepting what has been done, and we're still accepting it. Yeah. You know, I have to laugh. I see those that want to be mayor of this city frequenting all the black establishments, taking pictures with black folk. Mm-hmm. Granted, the city is 65% black.
Oh, is that high?
It's 65%.
Okay.
65% of color, all right? But who controls the city? The other 35%. Come on, people.
Not too far-fetched. I mean,
wake up.
Africa and the Caribbean is the same way, so I'm not really.
We're sitting up here wanting to beat the drums and tap dance in the middle of the streets because of a hung jury. There's a difference between hung jury and acquittal.
Yeah, he definitely wasn't acquitted. So
he was not acquitted.
I need people to calm down.
Calm down. Stop putting people that have gone to jail up on pedestals. They're still doing the same damn daggone thing they were doing before. Mm-hmm. Stop it. If anybody wants to argue with me or with Pat, we're the easiest two people to find.
Pretty much.
And you don't want to do it because I will put your record on blast.
Or lack of it. Lack of one.
Or what you did in the past.
Yeah.
To our people, and then you want to stand up and talk about all that you're doing now. Let's not play these games. This is April. May is primary. And we are looking at.
Yeah, we're less than a month away.
What's going on? And it's really, Pat, if you're not seeing fundraisers on Facebook, it's crickets. I almost said crooks in the neighborhood. It's crickets. In the neighborhood, you see posters up on poles.
Mm-hmm.
But have you seen any of these people?
Not really. It's pretty rare.
Unless they're posting their glad handling pictures on Facebook.
Mm.
But we're talking about our youth. So how do you expect our youth to survive the trials and tribulation and the trauma when they have to see the corruption and deceit, and then you want them? There was only one child, one young person, and they were helping, I believe, their mother hold a banner.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same people, and I'm not knocking it, but it's the same people. But I do know of the two young ladies that have been fighting. And that's a shout out to April and Bridget. I don't know about the other folks because you see them all over the place when there's a problem,
mm-hmm.
yelling and screaming. Dr. Frazier, I mean, hats off. They brought him in from New York, paid him. Yeah, you know, he didn't do it for free. But if you listen to the speech, yes, he was in the system for 16 years as a child. But he also talked about, you know, he was light, bright, darn near white. Gray hair slicked back. Did some marvelous quotes. You know, but what I didn't hear, even though we have it right here, the solutions, and who is taking up the mantle and going to take it to Harrisburg? Who's going to really push these recommendations? Who's going to really make... It's a beautiful book, Pat. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful book. Very beautiful. Color pictures and all.
Yeah.
Nice, bold.
There's some people you know in some of these pictures.
Hats off to David O and his team and worked with these young people that are trying to make a difference. You know, I'm going to give credit where credit's due.
Sure.
You know, but now as this book or report and recommendations, April 2022, City of Philadelphia, from the Special Committee on Child Separations in Philadelphia, who takes this mantle and tries to make this some of these things become law.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that on the other side of the break. Real quick before we go. So 2022 midterm election primary dates, they're extremely important, y'all. Last day to register to vote for your local municipal primary is May 2nd. The last day to apply for a mail-in or absentee ballot is May 10th. And your vote, your if you mail it in, it must be in by the 17th by 5 o'clock. All right.
And make sure you exercise your vote. You know, it's all well and good that you do all that, but make sure you exercise your vote and educate yourself on who you're voting for.
Yeah, yeah. Vote in the best. Vote in your
best
interest.
Your best interest and communities.
You are now listening to Tone and Tenor, Bipartisan Voices of the People. Our topic today, COVID-19, saving the children, saving the earth.
Welcome back to Tone and Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 out of Ballard-Kenwood, Pennsylvania. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward, and happy Earth Day.
Yeah, that was the other part, because that's why we joined both of them together, because, you know, if we don't save the children and we don't save the earth, we won't have anybody.
Yeah, we in trouble.
Big trouble, Pat.
Yeah, speaking of children and other folks, happy birthday to my nephew, Bashir McDonald, my nephew, and my buddy Ken. Our birthday's today too. So
oh, that's cool.
You know.
Yeah, happy birthday! Happy birthday to one of the organizers, Miss McBride, of this rally.
Oh, it's her birthday too.
Yeah,
oh, happy birthday to her.
Yeah, awesome. So we're hoping that we would hear.
Spring seems to be bringing some good things, hopefully.
Hear from them as they, you know, finish down there at City Hall, well, Love Park in Philadelphia. But, you know, as we talk about our children and saving our children and actually having a world for them, but if we're trying to save the earth, and we're not saving our children, then we're not going to have no children to do what needs to be done in the world. You know, we're losing our children to these systems.
Yeah, but it's intentional.
That is the part that I waited to hear today.
Oh, you know, I was going to say it.
I was waiting to hear it publicly.
Oh.
You know, I waited.
No, think about it. Any school district, the blacker school get, the blacker school district gets in this region, all of a sudden there ain't no money. Look at Upper Darby School District. Look at Philadelphia School District.
Or the money is misappropriated.
That's true too.
You know, that is why we need to make sure these folks that you're looking at to sit in these seats get on track. Track means that they're transparent, accountable. I'm sorry, I spelled it wrong. Transparent, responsible, accountable, credible, and have knowledge.
Or at least surround yourself by people that had that.
You know, we can't. You know, these
because everybody don't got it.
Everybody don't got it. And Pat, I started to do something that, you know, as we intertwine these things, as we're losing our young people, not just to the DHS system, but to our streets. I start to look at the numbers of gun victims and the youth. And if you go back a few more years than none, we weren't losing young people to the gun violence. as rapidly as we have in the last this year and the past year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so as we start talking this, and I start to look at and listen to some of the old interviews, some of the old shows that we did, and some of the community recordings that I had. And the funny thing that I came up with, nothing's changed. Mm. You know, everything stayed the same. You know, the song says everything must change. Here in Philadelphia, here in the state of Pennsylvania, nothing has changed. Everything stayed the same.
Yeah, but
and when I say that, let me finish this.
Uh-huh.
When I say that, it is the same rhetoric
mm-hmm.
that some of these elected officials have been sitting in the same seats have been saying for the same years. And even when one had been just elected, they're now saying the same thing. But they're riding on the laurels of being the first this, first that, first the other. But the same things are happening in their district that was happening when they were first elected. So the song says, everything must change. Nothing stays the same. I'm reversing. Nothing has changed. Everything has stayed the same. And our children are at the mercy of our people. And, you know, this is really interesting because we are moving into an election cycle, and every election cycle, Pat,
mm-hmm.
there's two groups of people that become the prime focus to talk about by most of those that want to be elected or are sitting in those offices, and that's our young people and our elders. Two of the most vulnerable groups
mm-hmm.
of people, not just in Philadelphia, not just in Pennsylvania, but across this nation when it comes to elections. And once folks are elected, those two groups are cast aside.
Yeah, because, you know, we all know Philadelphia, particularly Philadelphia's public schools. We know what their, you know what their motto is? F them kids. That's what their motto is. And I challenge anybody, and we just do the numbers. And just to give you guys some perspective on what Randall was talking about, I'm looking at the public school review. I'm mortified, right? So you got pre-K through 12. There's 127,000 students, give or take. Teacher-to-student ratio is 1 to 18. I know that's not true. Minority enrollment, right? So we're talking about anybody that's black and brown, not of white or Hispanic origin. 85%. Graduation rate is 66%. Below. We're 50% below in PA in comparison to the state. That's a problem. Our overall school district, bottom 50%. Math proficiency, 23%. That's the bottom 50%. Reading proficiency, right? You have to read. Like, that's one thing. You may not be great at math, but you have to be able to read to navigate this planet. Period. Right?
Not just that.
37%. All these things were in the bottom percentile.
And yet the new superintendent that's coming in
mm-hmm.
is going to go on a listening tour.
There's nothing to listen to. Listen, you got to see what you want to be. Y'all can take this however y'all want to take this, but the bottom line is, this is statistics talking, not Pat, not Randall, not the show,
it was
not the radio station.
Statistics that put us in the mass problem that we're now in.
Well,
we needed data. So here's the data, people.
Well, listen, for every black male teacher that a black student has, they have a 13% more, 13, they're 13% more likely. For every teacher they meet, they're 13% more likely if they have a black male teacher to graduate. That's facts. Now, it may not necessarily be inside the school, right? There could be teachers at home. But these are the numbers, folks. You can take it however you want to take it. Myself, I was raised by Eddie Edward. Randall was raised by, we had men in the community. We had coaches. Like, this stuff is real, folks. The state of Pennsylvania has 80%, I think it's 86% of the teachers are white. I just gave you the number for the school district. 85% of our kids, 85% of the kids are black or brown. No offense, but we need more people in our schools that look like us. The same thing with the representation in our legislature. Doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make sense.
But here's the problem, though, right? Because this is one of the most non-black cities. City council is like maybe 69, 70% non-white. And we can't get nothing done still, right?
But that's because of what I opened up with earlier.
No, it's lack of experience.
Lack of experience and the control factor.
That's true too.
Yeah. It's a control. Come on, let's think about it. Mm-hmm. If we're going, you know, everybody wants to talk party. You know, it shouldn't be about the party; it should be about the people. I've always said that. But if you want to look at the Democratic Party here in Philadelphia, you've got a lifelong guy that came up through the ranks. And anybody want to challenge me, Bob Brady became who he was because of the Campbell family, Carol Campbell, her father. Now, they were black. And we're still, the okey-doke that he pulled to stay as chairman of the party when he first said he wasn't going to retire. He made sure the vote came in first, that he was elected to the party. Then he told everybody that he was resigning from Congress. Check it out. If you don't want to believe me, ask Dwight. Ask Ed Rendell. And then we have, with all due respect, we have a woman that's the vice chair that is in her late 70s.
Yeah.
So what are we, that is not indicative of the people of this city.
Yeah. Most people right now, and on average in the state, most people are middle-aged, most people, right? So again, council at one point, I think the average age before the last flip, where, you know, we do have some younger people on council, but the average age back 3 years ago was 60.
Younger people that have come into council have turned
well, the machine. It's the machine.
Because of the way everything is run. You know, I've said we need to change our ward system. You know, this report is a great report. Where is it going to go? You know, as Councilman David O said, well, everybody's mad. Now we got to get everybody to channel that anger. Sure. But if a person doesn't know how to channel the anger.
Yeah, because they have no skills.
And you don't have anyone working with them to channel the anger. Mm-hmm. You're still going to have, like I said, when I pulled up today, I saw more cops and then the civil disobedience and the helicopter over here for what? About 200 people, 250? A percentage? And don't go by me. Go listen to the video. Even Dr. Frazier said it. Out of 650,000 people, you had a minuscule amount of people. Because nobody knows that this is happening.
Well, not just that. I mean, a lot of people at work. So I don't know why our council meetings aren't like the boroughs and the townships that surround us. If you go to other places, their meetings are at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, 6 o'clock.
No, why? That's because everybody's home. O'clock.
Right.
Right? Your meeting is on a Thursday. First of all, it's a part-time job.
But see, that's because... Uh-huh. That's because, let's think about this, Pat.
Yeah.
Those boroughs, those people, that is not what their livelihood is not.
Connected to that. Yeah.
It's connected to it.
Sure.
If these folks were really at a part-time job, I'll tell you this over and over again, show me a part-time job that you make six figures and can vote yourself a raise in the next cycle, or you can walk up to your boss and tell her, I'm giving myself a raise in the next cycle. Oh. She'll look at you and laugh.
Well, you know what happened to me in city council when I asked for a raise. I was walked out. So that's not how I go. But
this is what you have to do. You know, I watched and you know, I find it interesting. You know, we react to emotion. And there was a lot of emotion out there. But you have to channel that emotion in a way to get things done.
Yeah, but you got to look at
the numbers. And the only way you channel that emotion is we got to go back and edumacate, and I say edumacate, ourselves on who we're voting for, who we're looking at to vote for, because we have to stop voting for people. You know, these folks are not above the law. And for them to want to help our children, and yet and still we see these people being paraded in handcuffs, being locked up, and yet still come back in the streets and raise Cain, our children are not going to respect you.
They don't know.
That's why we have the problem. You don't have the respect of the children because, oh, I can't do nothing unethically and just pay $30,000. You know, and I'm the chief law enforcement officer of this city. I can't hire these folks, those folks. I can't run around. But when you see the chief law enforcement officer running around or not being ethical, and it's proven, people. You know, you got people running around that have been to jail wearing sheriff badges, smiling, laughing, and jumping up and down. Yeah, why do you think these people, why do you think DHS doesn't have any respect? You've got to have respect for yourself too, people.
Yeah, but that part of that is because, you know, there's no reason, much like teachers, you know, social workers don't get, you know, I know a lot of them personally, and these are people who genuinely care for people because do that type
of
work.
Some do, but then some figure out how to manipulate the system.
And that's fine, but we're not talking about them. I'm talking about the unsung heroes who.
But that's the problem.
Who get up early, stay late, you know, who, you know,
those are the people don't get anything.
Yeah.
You know, and they're the ones, and with all due respect, most of them don't want it. All they want to see is a child succeed. All they want to see is that they made, their reward is that they made a difference. Mm-hmm. That they made a difference in somebody's life.
Sure.
You know, because they are the lowest paid when you really think about it. You know, you could, and no knock on social workers, but you look at everybody's social work, you see more social workers, you have more of them with master's degrees, you got more of them with doctor's degrees, you know, but our children are still suffering because, you know, they're burning, the good ones are burning out.
Yeah, a lot of people leaving.
You know, a lot of people are leaving. You know, I talked to somebody yesterday, their secretary quit because they made more money sitting at home doing nothing thanks to all the bailouts, dailouts, giveouts. They sitting at home.
Well, listen, some people made a way for themselves.
You know?
Some people made a way.
But you know, one of the things that is really disturbing, Pat, and as we talk about DHS, there's a bill allegedly circulating around city council, Philadelphia City Council, and it would bar Philadelphia from keeping Social Security payments meant for foster children. Legislation would end a legal but controversial practice of transferring the money into city's $5 billion general fund. City Council, this was updated on March 15, 2020. This is part of the Resolve Philly Broke Philly that the Inquirer has been doing. And it says City Council Member Helen Gim plans to introduce legislation this week in response to a December Inquirer report. It took the Philadelphia Inquirer now report that found the city has been taking millions of dollars in Social Security benefits belonging to children in foster care and plowing them back into the city's general fund. I know somebody went to jail for doing that. Gim's legislation would end the practice requiring the city to save the money for the youth themselves. This is a council person talking. I was deeply upset reading the story. She had to learn that this was happening. So you're telling me you don't know. Nobody is looking at the city budget and asking where this extra money's coming from?
No. Just like when they lost that $30 million. Or was it $20 million?
There was no question we needed to take action, which is why we're moving toward legislation and worked over the last several months for a complete package that puts young people first.
Sounds good. But hold that. We got to go to our second and final break. You're listening to Tone and Tenor, Bipartisan Voices of People. Our topic today is COVID-19, saving the children, saving the earth.
Welcome back to Tone and Tenor here on WWDB Talk 860 AM. Yes, my city's in ruins. You know, I'm not going to stop playing that, Pat. I've already said it. Somewhere within this show, we're going to continue to play that song.
No, the songs today, period, was on point. But
Let me finish enlightening you, my brother.
Sure.
Children, this is, as we went to break, we're talking about this Social Security. Children can be eligible for Social Security benefits through Supplement Insurance Security Income, a public benefit for mentally or physically disability and financial need, or through old age, survivors and disability insurance. If a parent or guardian has paid enough in the Social Security system before retiring, becoming disabled, or dying, the survivor's money, as it usually is called, is owed as an insurance payment to children and belongs to them.
Mm-hmm.
However, because young people are legally considered incapable of managing their own money prior to reaching 18, they are reassigned a representative payee to receive and manage those funds. In the case of youth in foster care, government child welfare agencies can step in to become the money managers. Between fiscal years 2016 and 2020, the city, we're talking about the city of Philadelphia, took almost $5 million in Social Security benefits due to hundreds
from children
of children in foster care. According to, these are the city documents. According to the city documents obtained by Resolve Philly and the Inquirer through the Right to Know request. The city transferred the money to its general fund. The records also showed. That's crazy. In a typical year, DHS took about $1.3 million in benefits from about 380 youth. in foster care. Records requested also show that the city has no, listen to me, people, no process in place to notify kids of their legal representatives that the money is being taken, preventing them from securing the money themselves.
And that's called stealing, folks. It's stealing. Because I know I was a beneficiary. So for those of you that know me, my mother passed when I was about 14. And me and my baby sister, Ariel, were recipients of that. I can't remember how much we got, but it was, my mother was a nurse. So, you know, I know it was pretty hefty. And I'm sure that helped, you know, particularly, you know, when I was shipped to Florida and everything. So, I mean, I am fully aware of the benefit. But it's funny how kids are legally incapable. There's adults that are incapable of managing finances, which is most of us adults. So,
look, you know, some of our star athletes.
I mean,
make millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Trust me, 5 years after they retire is gone. But, you know, unless they have endorsements like Iverson or something. But yeah, this just kind of speaks to what I was saying earlier, you know, just how our kids are treated. And just some other funny statistics that still come from Public School Review. You know, our top probably 5-10 schools are all magnet schools. And I'll run them down for you. Central, right, which has a 10 out of 10. Masterman, which has a 10 out of 10. Girls
which
High,
apply to.
10 out of 10.
Which you got to apply to.
Academy at Palumbo,
which you got
10 out of 10.
To.
Parkway, Center City, Middle College. They changed their name. I didn't know that. 10 out of 10. High School for Engineering and Science, 10 out of 10. Also a magnet school. So the top 8 are magnet schools, and all of them seem to be pretty close to Center City. I'm just saying, don't get emotional on me, right? Some of y'all about to get emotional on me right now.
But you know what? Think about this. How many of those people that are in foster, or those young people that are in foster care, who somebody's getting paid to take care of them, mm-hmm. go to any of those schools?
They don't, because people don't know.
I mean, look, the city, where is the controller? Where is the auditor? You're telling me that there's money falling into general fund that nobody knows about and nobody's questioning?
No, because everybody getting paid. So I'm going to say something. This actually got me in trouble, but I'm going to say it again. I don't care. So
I got you in trouble.
No, so this was when I told you. So this was like early pandemic. I was supposed to be meet with somebody, right? Because, you know, they quote unquote wanted to help me, right? Or figure out what my next move was career wise. It's probably like 2-3 years ago. Maybe 2.5. No, I don't remember. Nobody remembers anything. But anyway, the bottom line is they said to me, oh, I haven't heard from you, seen you. I said, well, did the person you tell to call me? Because I don't have y'all information. But you have mine. Oh, no. What's going on? I said, well, the person apparently doesn't respect you because they didn't follow your directions or your directive. Mm. And they work for you. But I said, you know why the person didn't call me? I'm not going to say who it was, but basically.
I know who it was.
Oh, and they said, well, no. I said, because they belly full.
That's right.
So because their belly's full, they're not worried about nobody else's problems. So,
but that's one of the problems, you know. Some of these folks, not only is it belly full, mm-hmm. they don't respect the person that is supposed to be their boss.
Yeah, but that's because a lot of time they're friends. But and that's another issue.
Another issue.
I'm not saying you can't be friends with people, but that friendship is not a friendship when you're in that office. Like when you're in
the
office,
you have to learn how to separate the two.
Yeah, but I bring that all around, all full circle to say. You know, it's the ivory tower thing. Just like when they said sit in the parking lot to use Wi-Fi. Like, that just shows you how disconnected these quote-unquote adults are. Oh, yeah. Oh no, his belly was very full. Yeah.
But go on to talk about this, you know, mm-hmm. young man Marcus Jarvis spent many years in the city's foster care system.
Mm-hmm.
and fits the pattern of someone who might have received Social Security benefits that were swept away from him and into the city's coffers after the death of his adoptive mother. And in quotes, he says, man, he said, some cash would have meant so much.
Mm-hmm.
I could have kept up with school. See, I was intertwined here.
Mm-hmm.
I could have kept up with school because I needed money just to keep a roof. I couldn't keep up with school because I needed money just to keep a roof over my head.
Sure.
Now 30, Jarvis taught himself digital video production and graphic design and worked for the Juvenile Law Center, a nonprofit that fights for youth rights.
Mm-hmm.
It was such a struggle, he said, for so long, I could have used the money just to get some stability, to get some kind of college degree. That would have changed everything. Ladies and gentlemen, I understand Dr. Frazier spent 16 years in the system. He's now in his 70s. And he spoke eloquently today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but here's a young man right here in the system who was a victim of the system and tells his story from Philadelphia.
Mm.
Powerful. But we, from Bed-Stuy, I believe he's from New York.
Do it, son.
He came down, you know. And, you know, let's keep it real. When we bring people into the city to speak, there is some type of honorarium or they have a fee.
I'm okay with that. You got to pay for his experience that he's sharing with you and his time.
But if we have someone like this young man right here, and I'm not saying they shouldn't have done it. Mm-hmm. You know, anybody listen to me? But we have to look at what and how we tunnel our resources.
Sure.
You know, we have to watch it. We have to be overseers of these resources as well.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause there's a lot of money floating around that's unaccounted for. There's no accountability. But to keep saying we need more money.
We're not doing.
For doing less.
Doing what we already have, which,
you know,
is problematic.
The governor is talking about, Governor Wolf, I think he wants to add more money. He was here for another PR, standing at one of the schools, about how much more money we needed.
Mm.
How much more money they needed.
Let me throw some more numbers at y'all. What am I talking about? 3 minutes. Okay, so this is according to the Hungry Free Center at Drexel. Affordable housing projects, yeah. For a child and healthy family well-being. The percentages, this is crazy. So only 43% of families with children, this is, I guess, one or more children have stable housing. 26% of those families were behind on rent. 25% of the families lived in crowded housing.
Mm.
Yeah, so this stuff is deep. And then I know in the United States, according to Feeding America, in 2018, one out of six children had issues with food insecurity. I know just in Pennsylvania alone, 1.5 million children, I believe, have.
And majority of those are in Philadelphia. But, you know,
yeah, and food insecure.
Bad part about it is that we saw it, and we continue to see it as we work with.
Oh, yeah. We've seen it here. We've seen it in Norristown.
Organizations, you know, Social Impact Cafe, Erica Stewart, who's out there.
Yeah, literally.
You know,
every Saturday off of Madarie and Worcester.
Yeah, she's now going to be up at Pleasant Playground.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she gives out food every week, and it's actually good food. It's not canned. No offense to people who do food pantries, and you know, you're doing what you can, but she's really committed to having healthier alternatives.
But the members of this special committee on child separations in Philadelphia, the chair is Councilman David O. Co-chair is Councilwoman City Bass.
We haven't heard that name in a while.
Richard Wexler, executive director of National Coalition for Children Protection Reform. Paul Palamento. Hey, it's a friend of ours. I have to get him on here to talk about this. He's former administrative judge, Philadelphia County Court of Common Pleas, Family Court Division. Rochelle Balas, sheriff, city and county of Philadelphia. Nadine Bazaar, attorney, partner, client, inspector. Vicki Suarez, board member and Pennsylvania State Coordinator for Paternal Rights Org. Robin Cooper, president and Teamsters 502 of the Commonwealth. Yolanda Bryant, CEO of nonprofit organization Families Are Important to Heal. Mm-hmm. Advocacy Movement. Brianna Donahue, student formerly separated from her family. And Rasheed Shaw, student community activist.
Oh, we know Rasheed. So I'm actually happy for that, but that's not enough.
That's not enough for the young people.
Okay, yeah, there should be way more local people.
And young people at that table.
Yeah. But our show has come to an end. Much like anything good, it always comes to an end, y'all. So we want to thank our listeners. Follow us on social media, on Twitter. We're at Tone and Tenor. On Instagram, at Tone and Tenor Radio. Find us on Facebook. And yeah, our...
Type in www.facebook.com/ToneTenor. And, you know, always look for us. We're as I said, we were we were out at the rally, well, before we came in. We want to thank our engineer today, TJ. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
For stepping in for Wes.
Thank you.
Yeah. And
Unfortunately, bad news. So my cousin Esther St. Jean has passed on. So
condolences to you and your family.
Yeah, my family, my cousins, you know, her procession is tomorrow. Yeah, man, but happy Earth Day. Like I said, happy birthday to my nephew and Kendall. And appreciate y'all listening to us, man. So thank you for listening. Tone and Tenor, Bipartisan Voices of the People radio show here on WWDB 860 AM out of Philadelphia. See you next week.